Well, this morning I want to speak and exhort about the heart, because that is where God is working that deep work in us. And unless the heart conforms to God's standards, unless we allow the Holy Spirit to do that heart surgery, we're not going to make it in. We might even hold a place in this church, but unless the heart is changing, we're not going to make it in. And remember, many are called, but few are chosen. And there is a general call that goes out, and many respond to that general call. But it's from that call there comes the choosing. And those who are chosen are going to have a revelation about their heart. I'm reminded of a character in the scriptures who beated his breasts and could not look up like the scribes and the Pharisees, but said, "O wretched man that I am, have mercy upon me." Why was he doing that? Because the Holy Spirit had given him a revelation of his heart. And like all that God does with us, flesh and blood cannot reveal these things. They can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And this morning I'm calling this teaching, "Do we speak the truth in our heart?" Do we speak the truth in our heart? And I'm basing this from Psalm 15 and verse 2. Psalm 15 and verse 2, which says here, "He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, he who honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own heart hurt and does not change, he who does not put his money to usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved." Now, because he speaks the truth in his heart, therefore it's catalogued, those things which the heart will do. In other words, those who speak the truth in their heart will be very conscious about their tongue and what comes out of the tongue. In other words, words. Those who speak the truth in their hearts will consider their neighbour and will not desire or want to do evil to their neighbour. Or those who have friends, you won't want to reproach them. And so it goes on. And those who fear the Lord, and those who swear in their heart, and so on. Or those who have money don't make usury out of it. In other words, you are not cheating your brother, your sister, your neighbour. And so it goes on. Or making bribes, bribing the innocent, tricking the innocent, the simple. And it says those who don't do such things shall never be moved. But the key to it is, do I speak the truth in the heart? For we're told out of the heart are the issues of life. So it's out of our heart that we speak. We also get an inkling of this in Proverbs 27 and verse 19. Proverbs 27 and verse 19, which says here, "As in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man." And so that is why God does this spiritual heart surgery with us. Because your heart is a reflection. Whatever is in your heart, whatever your heart is like, that is what you reflect. You see? Sooner or later. And so we get from the psalmist this idea of communing with the heart, examining it, being honest with it. Now, these are all the key features if you have a heart that is right. A heart that is right with God, a heart which you speak the truth from. You are communing with your heart. You are sensitive to your heart. You are asking the Holy Spirit to search your heart, to try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. You are allowing the Holy Spirit to do that heart surgery. And the psalmist is very sensitive to this. In actual fact, I take it a step further, that the Holy Spirit will give you a revelation of the heart. He will begin to reveal your heart because nobody else can. The heart is desperately wicked. No man can know the heart. Not even the psychiatrists, psychologists really know the heart. They think they do, but they don't. It can only take the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal the nature of man's heart and what is in the heart. Because what is in your heart, you will do. What is in your heart, you will eventually speak and you will act. So those things that are contrary to God's standard are telling you and me what is in the heart and what needs to be done in the heart. That tells us, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it is man's spiritual temperature. The heart is the thermometer. It tells you what temperature you have. And if there's an illness spiritually, then the temperature's high. And God says, if you yield over to me, I will heal you. I will change you. I will do that work. You see, you cannot go to the doctor for that one. You cannot have antibiotics for that one. That sorts out those who walk by faith and those who don't. So there's a communing with the heart. There's this examining the heart. And how is this achieved? How is this done? Very simple. It's called honesty. Honesty. And that is what God wants from us, does he not? And there are two areas we have to acknowledge about the heart. There are two main areas that the Old Testament speaks about. And we know it very, very well, but very often we can bypass it. And the first one that we need to see is in Jeremiah 17 verse 9. And there's a word in there, in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Well, we're learning that. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, what is the key word there? The key word is deceit. It says, the heart is deceitful. Now, very often we look at that and we sort of say, well, yes, there's something wrong with the heart. But there has to be a diagnosis. There has to be something specific that is wrong about the heart. And so what does it say that is wrong here? The word it says, it is deceitful. Now, we conjure up in our minds all ideas of what is being deceitful or what is deceit. We at times ourselves have been deceitful. But deceitful gives us an idea of where we try to cover up. We try to pretend. We try to camouflage. It's sort of trickery. We know it's there, we know there's a problem, but we're going to cover it up. We're trying to cement it over. We'll try and build a foundation over it. So, you know, you can't see. This is what murderers try and do. If they murder someone, they try to deceitfully cover up the plot. History is full of it. Wars are full of it. So we are told the diagnosis of the heart is, in its nature, it is deceitful. And that deceit will work in numerous ways. In actual fact, you don't even actually have to work at it. You will find it can automatically come. And we try it. We try it even in the assembly. We even try it at times between us. But the Holy Spirit won't let us get away with it. That is the point. And eventually we begin to realize that we can't pretend in this. We cannot deceive God. And so as we acknowledge that and we become honest by that, then we begin to find the Holy Spirit will begin to work a real healing. Because he is the only one that can heal the heart from this deceit. And the second diagnosis that we have about the heart is from the prophet Ezekiel. And if we look in chapter 11, Ezekiel 11, again, you know these scriptures very well, but sometimes there are certain words that we just don't always hone into. But if we look in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 19... Ezekiel 11 verse 19, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh." Now, what is the actual diagnosis there? What is the problem there? Well, it wouldn't take long, because the problem there is a stony heart. So the second problem that God has with his people when they come to him is a stony heart. We've already looked at a heart that is deceitful, and so it's a stony heart. And so if there's a stony heart, it's a deceitful heart. If it's a deceitful heart, it's a stony heart. In other words, you can't separate them. These are the diagnosis of the problem. Now, what is our understanding of a stony heart? Well, we all know what stone is. Stone is hard. We need to stand on stone, on a foundation. The world that we live on, the ground that we walk on, the roads that we drive on, are made up of stone, fundamentally. Soil, earth, stone, rocks. That is how we're able to stand without falling through, fundamentally. And so it tells us that it's strong, it sustains, it can hold, it's firm, it's rock-like, it's stone, but stone's also cold. And there's not an awful lot you can do with stone. Stone's quite hard to try and mould, to shape. There's not a lot you can do with it. And it's always cold to the touch. And that is the second diagnosis that God says that is wrong with man's heart. He says, you're cold. You're hard. You're rock-like. You are not affected, you are not moved by the compassion and mercy of God. And so God says, I have to change that. And he says, I change that stony heart and I will work on it and I will make it into a heart of flesh. In other words, it's a heart after God. And you see all the saints, they're all there. God is working away at the heart. You do not have, when you come to Christ, legally you have a heart of flesh. You do, that's the new birth. But in practice, in reality, your heart has to be worked on, because it's hard, it's stone-like, it's rock. And so there's the second work that God has to do. And in order to do that, we have to speak the truth in our hearts. We have to acknowledge the fact that that is the state of me. And unless God works with me, I am never going to change. And I will simply deceive myself, and I will be like those scribes, those Pharisees, those religious people who basically never change in their hearts and carry on deceitfully covering up in a religious fashion, going through the formalities. That is why God hates religion. Because that is its problem. They never speak the truth in their hearts. And that is why, sadly, church history shows us right through the generations the corruptions that lied there. You know? And that is the problems. Now, he has to provide healing. And God says that he will do that. And if we turn to chapter 24 and verse 7, wait a minute. I'm not sure if that's in Jeremiah. I think it's in Jeremiah. Just bear with me a second. Yes, sorry, it's in Jeremiah 24, verse 7. Jeremiah 24, chapter 24, and verse 7. Then he says, "Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." Now, we notice that God says to those who speak the truth in their heart, he says, "Then I will give them a heart to know me." Now, we all like the fact that God says, "I will do it. I will heal you. I will give you a heart. I will restore you." God says, "I will do it." And that is his promise. And so we can sit back and God will do it. And I virtually don't have to do anything, because God knows me and I can't change myself. Well, I've always said that salvation is a covenant. And in a covenant, it takes two people to agree. And you have to agree with God, if he is to do this work, which he says he will do, he says, do we speak the truth in our hearts? That is the question. Do we speak the truth in our hearts? And let's face it, we don't always speak the truth in our hearts, do we? And our life tells us that we don't. The way we act, the way we live, the way we come over, our commitment. I could just give a whole list of it. That is actually telling you, you're not speaking the truth in your heart. And God is trying to protect you. He's trying to preserve you from yourself. We deceive ourselves. And what deceives us? Our own pride, our blindness. Therefore, we cannot speak the truth in our hearts. And if we don't speak the truth in our hearts, then God says, "I cannot heal you. I cannot change that heart of stone to a heart of flesh." We like the fact that God says, "I will do it. I will do it." And we all like the fact, well, God had to save me. The love for God wasn't there first in my heart, which is true. But when God met us, and showed us his love, he also showed us a commitment, a covenant. And he says to me, if you want me to do that work in you, then you're going to have to be honest before me. And you're going to have to start to speak the truth in your heart. Because you're not. And that is why we don't grow. That is why we don't see things changing in our lives. And we have to be balanced in this Christian walk. Because if we are just going to leave it totally to God, then that starts to create a fatalistic attitude. I also have a responsibility that if there are areas still in my life that are not changing, they're probably not changing because I am not speaking the truth in my heart. And the fact is, I already said, one of the diagnoses of the heart is, it's deceitful. And we still want that deceit. We still want to pretend. We still want to hide behind that deceit. And therefore, we cannot speak the truth in our heart. And what holds that deceit is blindness, is pride. Those things that God is ever working with us all the time. And so, if we don't deal with these things, then that stony heart still remains. And you're not bearing that fruit that you should be. You can't experience that healing, verse 24:7, that I will give them a heart to know me. You may be looking at that and say, yes, I'll read that, Lord, but that isn't my experience. You've said you will put a heart within me. You will cause me to walk in your ways. You will put your laws within me and so forth. And then we get angry, frustrated, moody, because it's not happening, it's not changing. And you know why? Because we haven't learned that simple test to speak the truth in our hearts. Now, you say to me, well, I do come before God. I do tell him, I have told him the truth. You may have told him the truth. You may have said, yes, Lord, there's this sin in my life. Please help me and so forth. But you haven't spoken the truth. And there's the problem. You haven't spoken the truth. You haven't really been totally honest. Because it says that you speak the truth in your heart. It means, in other words, I don't speak deceitfully. I don't alter the situation. I don't try to pretend. I am speaking exactly as it is, what it is. And I'm not trying to change it. That is speaking the truth in our hearts. And he says, if you do that, then he will begin to work. And he will change that heart of stone. He will start to remove that deceit. And healing starts to come as a process. Now, what did Jesus say about the heart? Well, he said in Matthew 5:7, he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, he brings all of that, and he brings that into the teaching of the Beatitudes. And he refines it, and he says that those that are pure in heart will see God. He doesn't speak about your works, your achievements, your ministry, what you have built for God over the years. No, he doesn't say that. He says, the pure in heart will see God. So, do we speak the truth in our hearts? Let's take this a step further then. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. One John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. 1 John chapter 3, 16 to 18. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So here we've been speaking about deceit, and we've been speaking also about the heart which is can be stony. Now, one of the clear evidences of a believer who speaks and is speaking the truth in their heart and is receiving healing, that spiritual heart surgery, this is what you will seek. See, you will see a working of love outwardly working. And it says, by this we know, or by this that we know them, by love. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So in other words, the love that's been worked because of the heart. In other words, we are coming to that place where we do not regard our life as that important. And you will always know when you will see a true Christian where they don't regard their life as that important, because they're not ministering all the time to that self-life. They're no longer controlled by the self-life. What is the self-life? Well, it is basically you, your wants, your needs, your lusts, ever feeding them all the time. Those self-vanities. He says, when you come to that place where you are being freed, you are freed, you can lay your life down if it were called for the brethren. But he says, but whosoever has the world's goods, there it is, it's the world. It's the way of the world, the way the world is going. I still want to go that way. I want to act that way. I want to look like the world and act like the world. Forget it. You do not speak the truth in your heart. And sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart. There's the stony heart. There's the heart that deceives itself, pretends. I haven't really seen that need. It's not something I want to get involved in, you know. I'm turning my face. We all do it. We all do it. How does the love of God abide in that person? How does it? So if the love of God doesn't abide in you, that is why you don't have faith. That's why your faith isn't working. Because I gave a teaching a few weeks ago that the key to faith is love. How can faith operate if you turn your eyes to those needs? There's just those basic needs. You deceive yourself. You're not speaking the truth in your heart. That is why faith doesn't work. Because this is where the greater works is going to come. The greater works are going to come by not turning your face away from the basic fundamental needs. And you don't have to look very far to where those needs are. You see, those needs cost us. Those needs sometimes mean that I'm going to get my hands dirty. Those needs sometimes mean that I can't spend time on myself and getting myself ready and presenting myself to the world this day. No, it means that we're outward looking. And here it is. He says, if we shut up our hearts from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's why you have 1 Corinthians 12. 13, I should say. The love, loving. It's not just in word, in tongue, but it is indeed. And those who love indeed, you can be pretty well guaranteed that they are learning to speak the truth in their hearts. So do we take seriously what we say? Do we lie in what we say? Do we somehow fabricate, change the truth? You see, pride will do that. Pride will always find 101 reasons to change what is the truth. There's the deceitfulness of the heart. You see? Man doesn't have to learn to lie. He is a liar. It comes automatically. He can change it, manipulate it, work it around to whatever way he wants. But to speak the truth, you first have to speak the truth in your heart. You have to speak it into your own life. Do I speak the truth? Does my heart speak the truth before you, Lord? I want to know. Help me with this. That is what the psalmist was saying. And so you see, if we're not speaking the truth in our hearts, then we have all these sorts of things that rumble away. Unforgiveness. You see, if there's unforgiveness, resentment, that will always lie when it's threatened, when it's exposed. If there is unforgiveness, resentment, it will always lie when exposed. It's very nature, because it hasn't forgiven. And so unforgiveness, resentment will always dwell on the past and will always ever use the past. And it will fabricate the past. It will keep embellishing on the past. It will lie about the past. And that's its nature. That's what it does. Because you don't speak the truth in your heart. Unforgiveness, this will always do it. Resentment will always do it. Will always lie. Jealousy will always lie. The first murder, Cain Abel, was jealousy. And when questioned by God, he lied. He twisted it. He revealed that he didn't speak the truth in his heart, you see. Greed will always lie. It will always twist it because I have a need. It's never satisfied. Self lies. So these lies aren't always just necessarily going around and just deliberately lying. Lying can also be deceiving yourself. You are living a lie. How many of you have ever been honest before God and said, Lord, I live a lie? Well, I'll leave that one between you and God. Because sadly, most of us do. Now that might offend some, but the fact is we do. Because what we're doing today is we're trying to be honest. Do we speak the truth in our heart? That's the question. You see? You're going to be grateful for this teaching one day, because God is trying to deliver us from the biggest deceiver, and that is ourself, the heart. That is what is going to take people into a Christless eternity, is the heart. That will be the gnashing of teeth. That will be the anger, the crying, the resentment, the fear and everything that go with that, because my heart did this. I did this. You see. So do we speak the truth in our hearts before God? See, the scribes, the Pharisees, they didn't. And that is why they got offended. You see? And that is why they want him crucified. They wanted him out of the way. Because Jesus' message was a good message, that God can work a pure heart within us. He can do that. He's a miracle-working God. And if you truly love the Lord, then you want that pure heart set in you. You see, a high opinion of our spirituality is a lie. And you know, that's something that God has really had to work in our circles over the years. with the teaching, the deeper life teaching, the faith teaching, it had really formed a very high opinion of ourselves spiritually. Oh, well, of course, we're getting the word. We're taught by revelation now. And I go to this church and we walk by faith and so on. There's this high opinion. And God's had to bring down that tower, that idol, over the years. He's had to smash it. And we've seen ways in which he's done it. And some of it's pretty awesome, fearful. Why was that happening? Because there was not a speaking of the truth in the heart. If we find ourselves receiving this deeper life teaching, which indeed we are by the mercy and grace of God, then it's nothing I can boast in. This is all God's work. God has had somehow in his heart favour upon me that I can sit under such a message and teaching in these last days. And so, when we view that like that, that is a sign we're speaking the truth in our hearts, because that is the truth. That is the fact. You see. When you're honest about a thing, that then is the truth. If you're honest about that you've got that jealousy in your heart, then that is the truth. The very fact that you acknowledge it is the speaking the truth in the heart. And then you are delivered from that. You are delivered from the condemnation of that. You're delivered from the control of that. You're delivered from the deceitfulness of it. You see. And sometimes we battle these things because we don't speak the real truth. There is still an excuse somewhere. Well, I wouldn't have this jealousy in my heart if it wasn't for that person. This is the fact, is because it's that person and I have to share with them, I have to be in the assembly with them that I have this problem. Now, you don't say it like that in words, but that's what's rumbling away. And the problem is, you haven't really spoken the truth, you see. That it's that person that causes this jealousy in me. That causes me to react in this way, you see. That's why God brings us together. And that's why at times it's iron sharpening iron. And he makes no mistake, he knows those areas where to expose in us. And when you see it coming out, when you see yourself reacting in whatever way you are, you've just got to be totally honest and say, Lord, I've got to speak the truth in my heart over this. Because you allowed that to expose for a reason. You see? And that is why we say so often that our trials are really to expose. And we're losing sight of our trials. We're seeing them somehow, oh, these are trials, and this is the way I make it into the kingdom of God. And yes, you do. We make it in the kingdom of God by going through much trial and tribulation. But the fact is, why do we have these trials? God just doesn't give you a trial because he enjoys to see you suffer. That isn't the nature and heart of God. The enemy might try and say that, but that isn't the nature of God. No, your trial or what you have gone through this week was for a specific reason to expose, to show you, because he wants you to speak the truth in your heart. And because you didn't speak the truth in your heart, you still allowed deceitfulness to work and everything. Up it comes again. That trial again, maybe in a few weeks' time, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a year's time. And you think, hang on, I've been through this before. And you will go through it over and over again until you see what God is trying to say in the exposure. And all the exposure actually is, I want you to speak the truth in your heart. I want you to see what I am trying to show you in this trial. But you don't want to see it. You want to still remain in a deceitful state. You still want to hide behind that stony heart. And God won't let us, you see. He won't let us until eventually it gets so painful. You get a point, you're so desperate, you're only then too pleased to speak the truth in your heart as God wants to. Now, as I bring this to the conclusion, I'm talking about speaking the truth in your heart. Now, the word of God and these promises that we have, we speak these promises, we confess these promises, and God's word means that we have to confess what he says. Our confession has to line up with God's decree, his word. And your confession, in honesty, speaking the truth, has to line up with what God says over you, or over that trial, or over what he's doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in other words, if God says, I desire, I want, because I'm true to my word, I want to heal you of that resentment and unforgiveness, but in order for me to remove that from you, you have got to agree with me for that healing. And that is why God breaks you. And that is why he brings you to the end of yourself, because finally you speak the truth. And when that truth comes out, God says, right, you're healed. You're delivered. Because we agree. That lines up with my word. That is faith. Faith is truth. Faith is agreeing with the word of God. Faith speaks the truth in the heart. You see? So when Jesus spoke the word to those and they were healed, restored, blessed, and so on, he was speaking the truth in his heart, because that truth was revealed from the Father. And that is exactly what he's doing with you and me. What he decrees, Isaiah says, will not return to him void, but will go forth. What he speaks, because he's truth, there's no lie. So he speaks the truth. Your life, my life, has to harmonize with what the Father has spoken. And in order for you to walk that, to agree with that, God says, I have to change your heart. I have to work in the area of deceitfulness, and I have to work in the area of this stoniness, this coldness, this hardness. Otherwise, you will never agree. You will always do the opposite. You will disagree. You will not like what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I require. You see? And so sometimes, to speak the truth in the heart, it might just mean, Lord, I don't like this. I'm not happy with this. Can't do it. It goes completely contrary to how I feel, what I want, and so on. But if anything's going to happen, I've got to speak the truth. And I'm just going to have to speak the truth in my heart. Now, that may not be truth, but it is truth to you. Because it's what you know. You can only speak the truth to what you know. I can only speak the truth today to the light that I have. And so you can only be honest before God, because that's what we call about it. And so as you're honest, you speak the truth as you know it, then God says, right, okay, that's enough. That's what I want. I'm now going to show you the whole truth. And then he begins to work. And then the lights come on. Then your eyes begin to open up. And then you begin to see the whole picture, don't you? Which you couldn't see before. But you got that because you spoke the truth to what you know. You were honest before God. Now God respects that. Because he knows what sin has done. He knows that we walk in blindness, but he says, I'll open the eyes of the blind. That's the promise, you see. That is why this is so powerful. Do we speak the truth in our heart? And the psalmist saw this. He desired this. He knew this was so vital if he was to have that relationship with God, which is what you're saved for. That is what you're saved for. And that is why, you see, in marriage, they're always saying that a marriage, if it works, you have to be truthful. You have to be honest. Any deceit, and it will break a marriage. It's exactly the same in relationships. It's the same with our relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the same with our relationship with God, what I've been talking about. There has to be truth, honesty. And so, and that can mean also just zipping your lip and keeping quiet. That is part of it. Anybody can say a thing, but sometimes the test is actually not to say it. You see, that's the point. So, we can't do any of these things without the Holy Spirit. That is why he's sovereign in our lives. And that is why God has promised, I've read it to you, we have it many times in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, where God, okay, he's speaking to the restoration of Israel, but what God does with Israel, he does with the church. He does with Zion. And he speaks about, I will do this. I will breathe on them. I will give life back to them. I will restore them. This is why I get so excited about all of this, because we're in the times of restoration. The whole emphasis of our teaching that we have week after week is restoration. It is restoring, bringing us back to a stand, a walk, relationship with God. And at times it is jolly painful. At times it's absolutely challenging. At times what is required of me is absolutely impossible. Can't be done. Well, we're not telling God anything that, you know, he doesn't know. And so this teaching today, speaking the truth in our hearts, is all part of God restoring me back, getting me back to the standard that he requires. He's doing it so that you may be saved eternally. That you don't have to go to hell. That is fundamentally what he's doing. So it's out of the heart that we speak, isn't it? And that's why the heart is the thermometer. It tells us. It tells us where we are. And we hear it each day. Or we hear it in the week. It's come out in some way. That anger's come out. That resentment's come out. That lie came out of my mouth. Or whatever it would be. What is God just showing? He's saying, speak the truth in your heart. Sometimes just to simply confess it. Lord, that was a lie what I said there. I just changed the truth there. Father, forgive me. What have you done? You have spoken the truth in your heart. Because that was the truth. That's what happened. That is why you see in a court of law, they get them to swear over the Bible. Because they think that by doing that, man's going to speak the truth. Maybe some, it can work. God permits it and allows it in a court of law. For the Christian, of course, we know we don't have to swear over the word of God. Because a Christian should not lie anyway. That's the whole point. But the fact is that in a court of law, you have a court of law because what is the court fundamentally achieving, trying to do? It is trying to bring out the truth. And any democracy that holds to truth, any country, government that tries to retain and keep the truth, that is the mercy and blessing of God. Because that is fundamentally what democracy is built upon. That is why we have law. We have a court of law. That is why there has to be justice. You know, but to get to the truth, these lawyers, judges, they have to train for years. They have to learn all these things. They have to spot the signs. They have to be so astute. They have to have such an understanding of human nature. And they can watch it and they can see the signs as the evidence is brought forth. You know? And then, of course, at the end, the whole of the case is then presented to the jury, the people, who then decide whether that person is guilty or not guilty. But that's fundamentally what is going on. It is trying to expose the lies, the deceitfulness. You see? And they have quite a task on their hands. But fundamentally what they're doing is they're trying to break. They're trying to break the person down. And they will often do it sometimes by actually bringing up things which they know really probably aren't true, but they're trying to offend them, they're trying to anger them, they're trying to break them. They know there's not truth behind that, but they're trying to work it in such a way, verbally, so in the end they break, and then in the breaking, then it pours out. You've seen it in films, haven't you? You know, you've seen it there, suddenly it pours out the end. There's the truth come out. They know how to do it. Well, if they learn that, how much more God? But with God, God does it gently with you. God has respect with you. But he's fundamentally doing the same to get the truth out of us. Why? So that we speak the truth from our hearts. Amen? Thank you, Father. Again, Lord, we thank you this morning that we need to hear this. It is meat. It's hard. Probably some have been offended. But Lord, love will speak the truth. And that's the key to it. And Lord, I pray those who are wrestling, those who are finding it hard to speak the truth, those who are in a turmoil, they feel they're coming to the end of themselves. The pressure is just breaking. It's getting too much. Lord, help us just to yield. Because by yielding over to the Holy Spirit, we then can speak the truth. There's not that fighting, that resisting going on anymore. And so, Father, I thank you for our meeting today. Thank you for bringing us together in fellowship, in unity. I pray you'll continue to preserve and keep us and bless us and ever continue to work with us and not give up on us, Lord. Until we meet again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, I every weight and sin that does so easily beset me, I will look to thee with steadfast gaze, and I will run the race that you have set before me. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, you are the author, the finisher of my faith. Looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, you are the author, the finisher of my faith. Sing us again to the Lord. I lay aside every weight and sin. Set me high.
set before me, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, you are the author, the finisher of my faith, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, you are the author, the finisher of my faith. Thy ways, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth, unite my heart to I will glorify your name forever.